bring you greetings this morning in the name of our risen Savior. Seek an interest in your prayers as we again look into the scriptures to receive inspiration and instruction for today. For a message this morning, I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Where the apostle is talking about perilous times. And he's warning Timothy of the times that will be that lie ahead. That is 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to take time to read the first 13 verses here. And then move on into the message. Verse 1 will be our text to the message this morning. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jambres and Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no farther, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul often warned in his teaching, he often warned his brethren of difficult times that lie ahead. And likewise, he told Timothy of such things. You look at 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 that we just read. Many times Paul warned them of these things that will come. Paul wrote to Timothy to warn him of these times that will come. And are especially helpful. They describe the perilous times that are to come. And may I say this morning that are upon us today. As you look down over the list of things that Paul talks about, perilous times, do they not speak of where we are today? Await what it will be in the last days. And I believe this morning that we are living in the last of the last days. Paul had an urgent message here. And you could tell it was on his heart. And in his warnings and warning Timothy that these times will come. Perilous times to come. It will be when? In the last days. In the last of the last days. This phrase was often used to describe the gospel dispensation, our Christian age. It was used by Joel. You can go to Acts chapter 2, verses 16 to 17. I'm going to look at a few other scriptures. We mainly want to remain here in 2 Timothy. Acts chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. But this is that which was spoken by prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. And one could turn to a lot of scriptures this morning to see what will be in the last days. And are they not upon us today? Where people are scoffing at the truth. It was used by the writers of the Hebrew. You could turn to Hebrews and see warnings of what will be in the last days. Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The end of the ages. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, as we think of the last days. Now all these things happened unto them for an example, and that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Are we heeding the warnings? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 is another one. Where he says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The last hour, the last days are upon us, dear friends, this morning. And Jesus, I believe, will soon be coming. The last hour, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. I want to read that one yet. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. We are in the last days of our time on this earth. The last of the last days, as we see everything that is coming in upon us, and people departing from the faith, people walking away from truth. Since the cross of Christ, we have been living in the last days. Therefore, we should expect to experience the perilous times that Apostle Paul talks about, that he warns Timothy. These warnings are here for us today. We have people who are turning away from truth. Brothers and sisters, we're living in a time of great deception when people are walking away from truth. I want to notice a little bit before we look at the last part of the message this morning that there is a way to remain faithful during these times. We can look at the very dark things, but I'd like to look at everything that he explains in this verses that we read. The nature of these perilous times in this chapter. It says that people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, selfish people. It's a me generation. I need to take care of myself first. And brothers and sisters, this morning we need to be careful and we need to be on guard that these things are not creeping into our lives and into the church. It says they will be boastful, proud, and blasphemers. People who want credit for themselves. People who want to be recognized because of what they have done. But brothers and sisters, this morning it's because of what Christ has done. Says they will be disobedient to parents. We live in a generation that is rebellious. Scripture says that rebellion is the same as witchcraft. Rebellion. I don't have to listen to my parents. Many children don't have parents. Many teenagers don't have parents to turn to. We talked about the order of the home this morning that God has established from the beginning. There are times there are dysfunctional homes. We recognize that. When father fails to take his place as a leader in the home, sometimes the mother needs to carry on the teaching of the children. And the church needs to pick up in those situations when there is a dysfunctional home. But never, never does the other part have a right to be disrespectful to the one who is called to be the head of the home but yet has failed to take their place. It says they're unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. Unthankfulness speaks of a discontented person. You show me a contented person, I'll show you a thankful person. They both go hand in hand. Unholy. They're not very loving to be around because it's a me generation. It's me first. unforgiving, not ready to forgive. Did you ever tell someone that you're sorry for something when you know that they were just as much in the wrong, but yet they could not say they're sorry? That little word sorry sometimes is not in some people's vocabulary. We need to have that as a part of our vocabulary. Sometimes we need to apologize to people even when we feel we've done nothing wrong. There's a brother one time in church life, after I was ordained, accused me of something that I felt he misrepresented me. But I told him I was sorry for the way he understood it, even though in my heart I knew that that's not what I meant. But apparently I communicated that way to him. There are times when we must do that. We're never too big to tell somebody that we're sorry. It says they will be slanderous people without self-control. They're very brutal. Do we not see people like that today in our society? But let's be careful it's not seen in the church. They will have the form of godliness, but deny the power of godliness. Are we struggling with those things that Apostle Paul talks about here? These are things that we find in the world. I trust, not in the church. These are things that we find, and it may even come in the name of religion. They have the form of godliness. This morning, we can have the form of godliness, but inside, we have what Paul is talking about here. Go with me to Romans chapter 1, 28 to 32. Romans 1, 38 to 32. I'm sorry. 28 to 32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, disrespectful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Paul is saying here in the book of Romans about the same thing that he's showing us here in 2 Timothy. People were filled with all unrighteousness, immorality, impure. They were filled with wickedness, covetousness, and such like. They were full of envy and murder. They are backbiters, haters of God. They're violent. They were proud. What Paul said would occur in the last days already existed in his day, but so much more today as we await the coming of Jesus. It is the conduct of people that creates perilous times. You get that? It is the conduct of people that create perilous times. And we are certainly living in such times today. What then should be our concern for living the last days? What should be our concern? I believe that our concern needs to be is that there is a survival. There is a way that we can remain pure and holy before God. There is a way. There is a remedy. There was a book written, How Should We Then Live? In which the writer, Ananias, gives analysis like this. He gives the breakdown of Western civilization. He says, the only alternative, he says, is living by Christian ethics. Acceptance of God's revelation and total affirmation of the Bible's values and meaning. My friends, this morning, the answer is right here in the Bible. How we can survive these last times. We have people who are turning away from the truth, people who are living in great wickedness. And some people from conservative Mennonite homes that I personally know. Brethren and sisters, this morning, it can happen to you and I. We are targets of the devil, and he is out to trap every one of us. That is the core of what Paul tells Timothy, how the Christian was to face the challenges posed by living in these perilous times. You know what one of the problems is in our age that we live today? Is that people welcome comfort and convenience over conviction and confession. And let's be sure that that's not us this morning. We welcome comfort and convenience over conviction and confession. People go from place to place. Trying to find the easy road. And I believe that I have three things I'd like to share with you this morning as we think of survival in these perilous times. The first survival technique that I want to bring to us is when Paul told those to follow him as he follows Christ, he was giving God the glory in his life. Because he found it to be real. But first survival technique is not to be misled. Don't follow men, but follow Christ. Paul said, follow Christ as I do. What kind of leader are you this morning? I don't care if you're a leader in a home. I don't care if you're a young man that's not married. You're leading somebody. You're being an example to somebody. But carefully follow the doctrine of God. Paul tells Timothy, you have carefully followed the details of my life. And he says, follow me as my example as I follow Christ. It takes real confidence in his life to say this. We know Paul. We know when he was Saul, when he was on the road to Damascus and the bright light shone from heaven. And he was a converted man from that point on. He says, look at my doctrine in verse 10. What he has taught and the way he lived. Paul lived what he taught. His words lined up with his living. We can stand here on Sunday morning and we can preach and we can teach Sunday school, but what am I during the week? And I need you to remind me when I'm not. We all need those reminders from time to time. Are we walking what we're talking as others follow us in these perilous times? As we relate to the perilous things in life, to these perilous things in life. He says, examine my manner of life. Examine my life to what I'm teaching, what I'm preaching. May each of us say that this morning. Allow others to examine our life, that what we're teaching and preaching is really what we're living. What you're teaching in your home, fathers, the worst thing you can do for your children is to live an inconsistent life. And it will not end up right. He holds forth his purpose in verse 10. We need to live our lives as the scripture says. Paul had a great singleness of purpose for his life. Turn with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press. Pressing toward the mark of the prize that is before us. Next, Paul held forth in verse 10. He does not seem to be holding forth the components of faith here so much as his and others' faithfulness. Living out the faith they professed. Living out our faith that we profess to have in Christ. He also addresses his long-suffering, speaks of his patience, patience with people. You know, sometimes it might be hard to be patient with people. And we may be tested in that sometimes. But are we patient as we should be at times? Paul next lists the virtues of love in verse 10. The agape love, the self-giving love that sought first the welfare of others. This kind of love was so important to the Apostle Paul, and I trust that it is for you and I today. Paul then moves from his transparency to his transitivity. Perseverance, persecution, afflictions he talks about. And we know that he's been through a lot of it. We know that at one point he thought he was doing God's will by persecuting the church, when he himself was facing a lot of persecution now. Thinking of sometimes the temptations that the devil would bring to us to become weary in well-doing. To become weary in walking the road before us. There's a little story I have here, but I think I'm going to leave that. The perseverance that Paul had demonstrated is not quitting when the pressure gets rough, but keep pressing on. When the going gets rough, don't quit, but bear it for the cause of Christ. Even though the load gets heavy and the going gets tough in the heat of the battle, in the heat of raising a family. Paul tells us in verse 11 that he underwent persecutions. Notice that it is plural, and he certainly knew what it was to suffer persecution, as he reveals in 2 Corinthians 11. 23 to 28. I'm going to read that where he gives some revealing of what all he went through. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 28. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in laborers, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prisons, more frequent in death. Oft of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, say one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day. I have been in the deep. In journeyings, often he goes on here and mentions a number of other things. How much have you and I been through? I believe that in America today, we've lived in a very soft time. I don't know how many of you get Brother Sims' call it the ministry over the cell phone, over the WhatsApp. But he gave a story of a man who was 107 years old and the change that a person like that saw in their time. People who lived through the Depression and so on. So what comes upon us daily, may we look to the Lord for strength and endure as the Apostle Paul did. And endure even the example of our Savior, who was perfect and without sin, who was the perfect example, but was taken to the cross, accused of things that he'd never done, gave his life there for us. The second survival during these perilous times is not to be distracted along the way. But you must continue in all things, in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Brings into focus here his mother, his grandmother, who were a direct influence in his life and where he was today. What have you and I done with the teaching that we have received over the years? From parents, from church leaders, how quickly do we want to throw it aside? But he says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed. John 8:31. That's the words of Jesus. He says, Timothy, you must not allow yourself to be distracted. Steadfast, sure, moving straight ahead. You must continue on. Timothy's acceptance of the gospel. He received the scriptures through certain loved and trusted people as his mother and grandmother. He learned them. He saw them walking in truth. He had the teachings of Paul. Secondly, Timothy had the advantage of receiving the scriptures at a very young age. Remember thy Creator in the days of your youth. From a childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Brothers and sisters, we've been raised and taught, and how tremendous responsibility that lays on our shoulders to pass on the faith, to pass on truth. It is resting upon you. Don't miss that opportunity, parents. Training in scripture that Timothy had received was very crucial, because the scriptures alone are able to make you wise unto salvation. To make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The authority and trustworthy scriptures rest in the fact that all scripture is given by inspiration. Literally given to us the Word of God, the words of life. This leads us to the question that so many people will challenge us on sometimes. This book was written by men. This book was written by men. The role that human writers of the Bible have in their transmission of God's message. But we do know that these writers, according to Scripture, were inspired by God Himself. May we never question the authority of this book. We have found in the past, when churches have questioned the authority of this book, there is no other way, but it's a downward course, a downward spiral to the total bottom, to a departure from truth. Very quickly, the third survival technique during these perilous times is don't stop short of the end, but be faithful to the end. Be faithful, stand fast, strengthen the things that remain. Verse 16 continues by telling us that the word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What book has ever stood the test of time that the Bible has? What book has ever stood true to all the prophecies in the book and will stand true to the prophecies to the end? We may not understand all of that, but it will stand true to the way God has said it. We think of the word doctrine. Speaks of it's what is right. It's truth. We think of reproof. What is wrong? Conviction and confrontation. Thirdly, correction. What we need to do to get right with God. It straightens us out, maybe, we say. It tells us how to live. It tells us where we're doing wrong. And fourthly, instruction in righteousness. What to do to stay right, to survive during these perilous times. The word translated here is instruction. Ephesians 6:4 as training, and in the King James Version as discipline. The concept of discipleship is about teaching the believer what it means to be a child of God and how to live it. The end result of foretold use of the scripture is given in verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The aim of scripture this morning is to equip the man, to equip us with what we need, man or woman, to be useful in God's kingdom. In conclusion to this message this morning, may we not get discouraged because of perilous times that are upon us. Because of people who are departing from the faith and who are drifting far away. We are living this morning in the last days. Many people are certainly just like those described by Paul. False teachers abound on every hand. And I know many of us have the Application Bible, and I mentioned this morning they're not sound on the covering, and they're not. And you need to be careful when you read those comments. It's a commentator. False teachers abound. Paul and others warned. Are we not truly living in these perilous times that he talked about? With an abundance of perilous men and women, how will we survive living in these last days? I'll give you a couple pointers here yet. By avoiding those who reject the truth and lead astray by appealing to our fleshly desires. By carefully following the doctrine and manner of life of men like the Apostle Paul. It may mean persecution, but the Lord will deliver his faithful disciples. What kind of men and women are we today? Are we following those who have been faithful in the past, who have followed Christ, so that others can follow our example? Then we need to be living what we are teaching. May God help us to do that. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you this morning. We just pray, dear God, we know that we are living in perilous times. As the apostle talked about in the scriptures, oh God, that each one here this morning would be faithful. And those who are not, Lord, that they might allow you to show them the way, whether it be through someone else. May we all be instruments of your hand, Lord. And may we live, help us to live what we teach and preach. Help us to be consistent in our lives, that we would not turn any away from you. So God, show us the way today. Lead us and guide us in these perilous times, that when thou art finished with us here on this earth, or when thou shalt call us from this life, we would be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.